One important feature following the birth of any baby is the choosing of a name for the newborn. After all, they're going to be stuck with it for the rest of their life. So it's quite an important decision that we have to make. For some people, it's not a problem at all because they've got the names chosen long before the baby sees the light of day. In fact, some people, like my wife Julie and I, we had a set of names even before we were married that we decided we would call our children. We just then had to wait for a few years for a baby to come along to match the name. Of course, things have changed since Julie and I became parents and embarked on that great adventure. In those days, you didn't know the sex of the baby until the day he or she arrived. So if you were forward thinking enough, you had two names ready, one male and one female. There are, however, some parents who don't give much thought beforehand. So when baby arrives, they can spend days, even weeks, debating the subject. One of our daughters is a midwife, and she has many tales to tell of the names given to children that she helped deliver. For example, there was the couple who were expecting their sixth child. They already had five sons, and now they had a daughter to add. They called her Jane, and a little sister for Shane, Dwayne, Wayne, Kane, and Zane. And then there was one couple who spent days trying to come up with a name for their baby daughter. For some reason, she had to remain in hospital for a week following her birth. And every day the nurses would ask if the parents had decided on a name yet so that they could write it on the baby's wristband. And every day the answer was no, no, not yet. Until one morning, the mother announced, "We've decided on a name. We're calling her Farron." "Oh," said the nurse, "how did you decide on that name?" "Well, it was easy, really," said the mum. "Her dad's favourite aftershave is Fahrenheit, so Farron." Well, perhaps the strangest one was the couple who announced they wanted to call their daughter Ladasha. And the nurse reached for the pen to write down the name and asked, "How do you spell that?" And the mother said, "It's easy, L-dash-a." She was quickly told, you couldn't write the baby's name like that. Anyway, if we go back 100 years or so, no such creativity was usually called for. You just named the child after one of the parents or grandparents. And going even further back, names were sometimes given that described the circumstances under which the child was born or conceived. And then there were situations when a name was given in a sort of prophetic way, describing the character of the child or the direction its life would take. And that was certainly the case with the child whose birth we are celebrating this evening. Mary and Joseph were told beforehand that this baby should be called Jesus because his name means Savior and he would save the people from their sin. And of course, every time he heard his name through the 30 odd years that he was alive, every time he heard his name, he would be reminded of the reason for his being there. However, long, long before Jesus was born, 700 years, in fact, the prophet Isaiah foretold that when this promised child was eventually born, he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And here we have a different function for a name. Whereas the name Jesus described what he would do and what people would call him, the names Isaiah prophesied would not be used in the way we would probably use them to call them or address them. So when he was growing up, his parents and friends wouldn't call out, "Wonderful Counselor, dinner's ready," or "Everlasting Father, it's time for bed." No, these were names that described him rather than names with which to address him. And these names were certainly true of Jesus, particularly during the 3 years he was traveling around, meeting people, teaching and healing them. He was a wonderful counselor. He was the mighty God come in the flesh. And he was able to say, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." But the name I particularly wanted to draw your attention to is Prince of Peace. In John chapter 14 and verse 27, Jesus says to his disciples some of his last words to them as a group, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." He was the Prince of Peace. Not only did he possess peace as the Prince of Peace, but he was able to give it, to distribute it. And this is at the heart of the angel's message to the shepherds. Their declaration was, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." And the main focus of the peace that he would bring, this Prince of Peace, was peace with God and the peace of God. He came to make peace with God possible for us. He came to heal the breach caused by our rebellion and our ignoring of him. He did that when he took the punishment that we deserved for our sin on himself when he died on the cross. When we accept personally that Jesus did that for us, that step of trust and faith brings us into a position of being at peace with God. And that brings another kind of peace, the peace of God, peace of mind, peace of heart. When Jesus said those words about giving peace to his disciples, he was facing the worst days of his life. And yet he could talk about his peace. He never promised his friends that life would be without trouble and pain, but he did say that whatever life threw at them, they could have a deep peace in their hearts and minds. The peace the angels sang about was not world peace or the end of wars. As one of the carols, I think we're going to sing it in a while, says, "Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing." The peace promised by the angels and offered by Jesus himself was the peace that he can give despite the pain and grief that life brings. Today, we may have all sorts of difficulties, having moved just in the last 24 hours or so from "Have yourself a merry little Christmas" to "In the bleak midwinter." We may be feeling disappointed and frustrated. We may be experiencing pain or grief in some way, all part of this broken, fallen world. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can and will give peace to those who will come to him in faith and trust him with their lives. The Prince of Peace wants to give us peace with God and the peace of God. Amen.